This is K2PCB, K2PCB motoring along, listening for any calls. K2PCB, this is KE2PDQ, how are you this morning? Good morning, Sir Brad. Welcome back to the morning group. I can't say the morning group because that's the wrong frequency, but yes, welcome back. Are you, do you have the grandkids with you still?
No, we took the grandkids back yesterday afternoon. It was a very enjoyable, basically 5 days, four nights. It was fun having them here. They used the pool like two, sometimes three times in a day. They just loved going in, so it was well worth it to have them here.
I was in there, their shoes, I'd probably be doing the exact same thing. It's very understandable. That's what summertime's all about. Today's Tuesday. I didn't make it out to the Ham Fest this weekend. Lynn and I, we were tossing around the idea, and then it started to rain, and we scratched that. Jeff was there. He picked up a few things computer-related, not as much radio-related. The second half of the weekend, actually, once we got past Saturday morning, it got pretty nice. And, Sunday was a nice day, and we went out and we did a POTA activation, Lynn and I, out at the Knott Farm State Park, and got 29 contacts, which was pretty good for how long we were out there, and then went over to Barbell for lunch. So, yeah, that was a pretty enjoyable weekend as well. It looks like the rain's coming back today.
Well, it sounds like you had a nice weekend. I keep forgetting that Knott Farm is a state park, and you could activate that. That's pretty cool. I gotta remember that. I listened to some radio a couple of times over the weekend, but I really didn't have much time to do anything. The kids were usually awake around anywhere from 6:15 to 6:30. They did sleep in yesterday till about 7, which was unusual, but that was good for them. We used my 3D printer a lot, which was really cool.
So what did you end up making? I think you were going to be making some E's for their, wait a minute, E's or A's? For some reason, I think of Edison and Adeline.
Well, I did make one A for Adeline. Edison didn't want an E. Eliana didn't want an E. And Theodore didn't want a T. So I ended up making a rocket ship for Edison and a rocket ship for Theodore, a butterfly for Eliana, and a rainbow for Eliana, a bat for Theodore, and a trophy cup for Edison, and a unicorn for Adeline, which that one took about 19 hours, maybe 20 hours. It was a very complicated print, used a lot of support, which I need to work on my supports and how I put them in.
The unicorn definitely sounds like a challenge print, especially if it was standing. Finding a unicorn model where the unicorn was sitting down on the ground, but it's still obviously a unicorn, that would be a good model if you wanted to try to avoid the prints, or avoid the supports, but standing, I'm sure, would look much, much better. I'm going to guess that you probably have a few different colors now. You're not making them all in black, or was there some painting effort that followed?
Yeah, I have several colors, even though that I can only print one color at a time. I just swapped out colors. The unicorn was in blue. The trophy cup was in white. One of the rockets was in blue. Another rocket was in white. So yeah, I swapped things in and out. But yeah, it seemed weird last night not having the printer on and going and doing something. It was kind of, the printer really got a workout for 4 days.
I'm glad you're using it. I'm glad you're having fun with it, and it's giving a little more, adding to the family time together, complimenting. So that's really awesome. I don't think I've printed anything in a little bit now. I'm behind. I come in, I put my keys on my dresser, and I look over at the printer, and I'm thinking, yeah, there's nothing on there. What am I doing? But yeah, I've got enough stuff going on, and I'll definitely get back to it. I know I have a birthday coming up. Oh, in a little bit, in the fall, that I will want to definitely make a print for the prep time. So, yeah, it'll definitely get its use.
Yeah, each time I use it, now I'm learning more. You know, obviously when I first started, it was just like, okay, let's just print something. And now it's like, okay, why is this doing this or why is it doing that? Now I'm like, oh, geez, maybe I really do need to buy a four-color printer. And I'm like, no, just stay with the ones. You'll be good for this for quite a while.
I definitely see where people say if you're going to do it, you know, if you got a taste of it, like you're getting here and you want to make the next jump, take a big jump. And, that cop's moving pretty fast out of the village. There's no way he's doing 30. There's no way he's doing 45. No lights on. Anyway, I guess I did the interim step, and I bought the used four-color Bamboo A1. I probably could have jumped into a fully enclosed machine, spent a little bit more. I don't know if I would have been happier. It would have printed faster. And that's really about it. So I'm happy with what I have right now, and it does four colors just fine. Let's see. How is the Ross's radio sounding today?
The note is sounding awesome today. Really clear. Strong signal from you. So yeah, it seems like whatever Ross did, I think we talked on Thursday that he'd done something. I can't remember when, but it sounded better. But whatever it is, it's sounding really good today.
I talked to him a couple times since, and though he may have been working on a connector for a radio, he wasn't actually working on the Node radio, if I recall him saying. So whatever it was fixed itself, which is sort of weird. When I was out doing the POTA activation, wow, people are crazy this morning. Anyway, when I was doing the POTA activation this weekend, I took both radios with me. I know I recall when we were out there for the field day events, the one tuner was tuning more than it really needed to, and so I was playing around with that this weekend, and I was able to recreate that scenario, and so I've been starting to do some research. I think I might want to bring that into the shop, which just means bring it inside and put it on a dummy load and see if I can recreate it that way and figure out what's going on. It seems like it's doing one of two things. Either the the sense circuit is not detecting the good SWR properly, or I don't know, because it doesn't seem like it brings it down far enough and or triggers early. And the other thing is the remote control. There's some, I don't know if it's I squared C, but there's some communication bus that tells it that you have changed frequencies. And if you did go to a known frequency, it will go back to a frequency, a known frequency, or a frequency close to one that it had tuned on before. It'll tune to that. It's almost like it's not getting that communication. So maybe there's a broken wire in that control cable. So things I have to look at. This is K2PCB.
Speaking of field day, which reminded me of field day was when you were talking about your radios and your tuners. I figured out how to start logging my contacts that I made on field day in. I don't know if I'm past that window of opportunity or not, but I'm still going to finish them up, hopefully today. I think I've only got a handful of confirmed contacts from all the ones I entered. So it's kind of interesting. It took me a couple of times to figure out how to do it. Now that I'm doing it, it's really easy. So I'm glad I'm getting that done. This is KE2GDQ.
And I wouldn't stress over the not confirmed. I think that happens a lot. Remember, there are people that don't log. There are people that will log on a normal day, but not log on field day. There are people that log in Logbook of the World only and not QRZ, or vice versa. People that have their own logging software and don't care about sharing with the world. And then if you're off by, a half hour, or you keyed in the band wrong, you can add that to your log, but you won't get confirmation, even if the other person does put the QSO entry in there. If it doesn't match yours, it won't mark as confirmed, but I wouldn't worry too much about it.
I've forgotten all about the other methods of logging or not. It was just kind of interesting that, I for whatever reason, I thought that everybody logged their stuff on field day. But I guess not everyone's really into, or at least trying to win, and I'm using air quotes there, some award for that.
And it's similar, or there's a difference between HODA activations and basic logging in QRZ. Even though there's support as a special event in QRZ, if you get a twofer, a threefer, a fourfer, basically, if somebody is set up at an intersection between two, either a state park overlapping a wildlife refuge, sometimes waterways like the canal, Erie Canal Park, if that touches on another heritage park or something that has two different park numbers, and if you're in that overlap area, you can use that for a twofer. So when you contact somebody, they say, oh, you have a twofer, I have two different park numbers, and you actually log two contacts, even though it's the same person, same day, same band, but two parks. In QRZ, that would only work if you switch bands and then try it again. Switch modes, try it again. You could use that same person, sideband phone CW, or I mean sideband FT8 CW, and you'd have three different contacts. But QRZ doesn't recognize the overlapping parks from HODA as multiple contacts. So when you log it into QRZ, log it into QRSAT, it shows up as duplicates, and it won't take those extra part assignments. Anyway, that's that.
So should I just use QRSAT, or should I also use Logbook of the World?
That really comes down to your personal preference. QRSAT is just my go-to for lookups. So that's what I use. Just a common place to have my log. You could log locally on your PC and then export that periodically to one of those sites. And if you wanted to maintain both, some people do Log of the World only. They have a personal preference, and they won't log in the other. But they want to have that exchange. They want that QSO in their log. So it's up to you. It really is. There's no should. It's your personal preference.
All right. That works. I guess for right now, we'll just stick with the QRSAT and fill that up.
And I don't believe it's too difficult. I definitely know that, like I said, I move stuff around from my POTA app to the POTA page to QRZ. And when I say move around, I'm just making an export, basically a CSV file that gets recognized by QRZ to move the list over. And I think you could do the same thing, moving back and forth between Logbook of the World and QRZ. So, all right, I've got 6:45. I'll turn the mic over. Most likely Ross is going to be in there, but I haven't heard him yet. This is K2PCB. Have a good morning there, Brad, and we'll talk to you soon.
73 to you, K2PCB. This is KV2GDQ, and we are listening for any calls. Good morning, Ross. We haven't talked in a while. How you been?
I'm doing okay. Just motoring my way to work this morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. Went to bed early last night. Slept good. First day. Well, let's see. We've had the kids. We picked the kids up Thursday morning around 10. And we took them back yesterday at 2. So basically, we had the grandkids for 5 days and 4 nights. And we kept them busy, which meant that we were busy. I was tired. But it was a good tired. I was glad to do it. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, those are always good weeks, especially when you have the grandkids. I'm sure that's probably a lot of fun. Our weekend, we can get quite a bit. I was actually on standby for Saturday, predicting all the storms and tornadoes and everything, which turned out to be nothing. But, you know what, I'd rather have it be nothing than have it be something.
Oh, absolutely. I agree with you. Even if you're on standby and you know, you're waiting by the phone and all that, not have to go out on a call, has got to be a good feeling for sure.
Well, they were predicting like tornadoes, you know, everything like torrential downpours, all that, you know, for our area. You know, even I think somebody's phone went off, but I don't know if they might have had that wrong. We didn't get enough rain to really wet the pavement, so to speak. So, like I said, I don't like it when the weatherman like hypes it up and everything like that. But like I said, it was nothing, so it's not bad. So Sunday went to Dairy Lake. Finally, for the first time, it should be really gone sooner since we have season passes, but it is what it is. I think from now on we're just going to go try to make an effort to go like just about every weekend since we got the passes.
Yeah, I think you're right when it comes to passes to different places. You just have to basically put it on your calendar and say, okay, we're going to go this day, you know, whether it's every week or every other week or something, you just or month, you say, okay, this is what I'm going to do, and do it. I agree.
Yeah, but the passes make sense. Even if you go, like, twice and you don't go again, it's actually worth it then. At least get your money's worth back on. $35 a park. I mean, you can't believe it. And then whatever it is for admission to get in, like I said, the passes make it nice. Well, I think that was about it over the weekend. There's too much else. Like I said, I think the storm really threw things for a loop. We had other plans to do different things, but, it is what it is. So, I did put this out to Travis about what's doing winter field day. Figure since it worked out good at the substation then, you know, and, you know, we probably get to do the same thing for winter time. We'll be in and out of the elements and keeping, you know, so I'll still be sitting out in the cold. I know some guys will do, they will definitely go outside now. They're definitely diehards. They'll have their equipment out there. They have like a little tent or something there, and the snowstorms and stuff, and still making contact. That's pretty dedicated, if you ask me.
That is very dedicated. I get the idea of that, you know, quote, emergency, unquote, situation. You're trying to duplicate as much as possible. I would do the winter field day again, in like we did field day, you know, inside at the station. That was awesome. That made it really enjoyable.
All right, I have to look up when it is then. I know it's sometime the end of January. I have to look it up though to see when it is, and then I'll reserve the station again. That's no big deal. I know with confused a little bit more. I think just because there's, I guess, for some reason in the fire department there's more birthdays in January, so I'll have to definitely make sure I gobble that date up before somebody else does.
Yeah, I just typed in, I had the computer on, so I typed in ARRL field, winter field day. The only thing that's come up so far is just the summer field day. But I know I've seen the winter field day advertised someplace. We'll have to keep looking for that.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it might be on QRZ. They might have it advertised there. Come QRZ. I don't think AWR will have it.
Yeah, I'll have to look on QRZ. I did open it up. I'll have to poke around here a little bit, but you know, we got time. Yeah, we got time, but I know what you're saying is the sooner you can get the hall reserved, the sooner the better, so we don't run into issues. That seems weird that there is a lot of birthdays in January. I didn't realize March or April was such a busy month, but must be.
Yeah, I don't know. I get some events like November storm or October storm. Maybe that was what it was. Maybe it was the, not even October storm really lines up. But whatever.
Yeah, us humans, we're not very predictable.
I don't know one thing I got to do. I got to start studying for my general. I know Matt's a friend, and I know Matt wants to get their license. And I know they're starting to study, so I should actually follow through and start studying for my general and get that under my belt. And then I know Matt and his friend, they are GRMSers right now, GRMS. I know they're happy with it, but they want, they see all the things that we do with our licenses and stuff, they definitely want to get their hands. So. That'd be interesting. I know the one, Matt's friend has a little, it's not a learning disability. He learns better, I guess, being taught by a teacher. And some people are better by just reading a book or something. So I know he wants to be, his one friend wants to get taught, I guess, or have like a teacher, so, I think Lancaster goes to that, I think they have something like that. I know, Jeff was saying that, they do have like a tutor or something for something like that, so, they're going to look into that.
Yeah, W2SO offers occasionally, lack of a better word, a class where you can go and there's an instructor and he goes through whatever. I know that Jose did that one time. I just bought the book and then you reminded me I need to get my book to work on my amateur extra license. But you shouldn't, Ross, you, the electronic side of it and almost everything else that we've talked about, you're pretty much there. It's almost like you just need to review a little bit, and I think you should have no problem getting your general.
Yeah, I'm not to worry about it, but it's just every once in a while they throw a question in there. It's like, huh? And that's usually the one that bites you. I should go on Travis's website and start on my lunch break and start taking a few of those tests. But thinking of work, I gotta get going in there, Brad. So I'm gonna say 73s to you. You have a great day. KD2GDQ. This is KC2PET. I will talk to you tomorrow, Brad. 73.
This is KD2GDQ. 73 to you too, Ross. Have a great day. And we will talk tomorrow morning. And KD2GDQ is clear of this station.